What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Off the Record. I'm your host, Imogen Marshall, and as always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. All the details are on our website at www.offtherecorduk.com. Now, before we welcome this week's guest, we have the news. So obviously this week it's been a huge week in the country industry, but we're going to start with some rather sad news that this week a tour bus carrying Josh Turner's road crew crashed in California, killing one and injuring seven others. Turner wasn't on the bus, but obviously his crew members were involved, so our thoughts are with them and the whole team. In slightly lighter news, Thomas Rhett's wife, Lauren, is due to release a new book that's coming soon called Live in Love that will explore their love story. So I think she's got as much of a following as Thomas Rhett almost, and I think everyone will be excited to give that one a read. And obviously, in other bigger news within the Thomas Rhett family, he sold out Madison Square Garden just this weekend with Russell Dickerson in support. I think that was just a huge night for everyone involved, and congratulations to them. King Calloway's Chris Deaton was married today, I believe, so congratulations to them. And Tyler Rich married his wife, Sabina Gadecki, this week as well, so congratulations to them. In tour news, the Dixie Chicks have announced that they're going to be touring arenas in 2020, and Miranda Lambert has also announced a 2020 wildcard tour next year, so that is just incredibly exciting. Hopefully they'll be over in C2C. We can all keep our fingers crossed for that one. Thomas Rhett has also released the music video of his Remember You Young single. It's absolutely beautiful. Definitely a tearjerker, so get those tissues ready. It's gorgeous, so definitely give that a watch. And Lady Antebellum have announced that they will be releasing a new album, Ocean, with the title track of which was released this week. That'll be coming later this year, so watch this space. The independent country label Cold River has announced that it will be closing its doors, so that's rather sad news for everyone involved. And the High Women obviously were ecstatic to announce that their debut album had peaked at number one this week, so it's a huge achievement. I'm such a huge supporter of that album, so I was so happy to hear that. And finally, Lauren Alaina has started off her stint on Dancing with the Stars, but she's also announced her breakup from her boyfriend John Crist. So we'll be excited to see how far she goes on Dancing with the Stars. Obviously, we didn't get it over here, but make sure to go check on YouTube, see her strutting her stuff on the dance floor. In terms of releases this week, we've got Lady Antebellum's new track, Ocean. It honestly wasn't my favourite. I think my favourite's obviously been What If I Never Get Over You. It's such a huge track. Pictures was also huge, but this one, it wasn't the same kind of huge ballad that I come to associate with Lady IA, so it's still a good track, and I'm excited to see what they do next, but not my favourite. Emma White has released her EP, Actress, which is just a masterclass in songwriting. Emma White was over this year for Buckle and Boots, and obviously she was on the podcast last year. She is a huge, huge talent, and I really think you should go to check out this one just for the songwriting alone. It's just very clever, very well written, and it's wonderful. Speaking of clever songwriters, Ryan Hurd also released his EP, Platonic, that was definitely, again, it's just worth giving these ones a listen just in terms of the sheer genius of the songwriting that's involved in these. It really shows you what Nashville has to offer. I've been waiting for more music from Ryan Hurd, so I was a big fan of this one. In terms of a very different release, Jake Owen released his cover of Believe, the Cher classic, and it's honestly superb. Like, I was so blown away by it. Really surprising cover. Definitely worth a listen. It's just the sheer imagination it takes to reinvent a song like that, which has been so overplayed and so played back to back. Definitely go and give that a check out. And finally, Drunk Text was released by Hayley and Michaels. I'm such a fan of Hayley and Michaels as well and what they're all about, and absolutely loved this track from them, so make sure to give that one a listen. And that's been your news for this week. Now, for this week's podcast, I had the pleasure of chatting to Eric Pasley and Thompson Square ahead of their show at Bush Hall. So first of all, please welcome Thompson Square to the podcast. crazy week. How was the long road for you guys? I saw you on the interstate stage. It was absolutely amazing.
Oh, you were there?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I was right at the back.
It was really moving.
Yeah.
Like, there was an energy there. Almost like the Opry. When we played the Opry, there was like something, I don't know, it was just this crazy
energy. Everyone there was just
lovely.
So glued in. They're like, oh my God, this is our weekend of country. Like, it's the last of the summer. Like, let's celebrate. Everyone's so like emotional almost.
Yeah.
It was really, really special. We talked about it later. It's like, that's one of the most potent, like, acoustic performances we've ever had. The audience was just so, just like, just laser.
And that's what you want.
That's exactly what you want.
You don't want the people just chatting away.
No,
well, and it happens a lot. Yeah. Like, especially in the States, you know, if you're playing a bar or something like that, and people tend to get rowdy, and sometimes
that's
they might not.
That's what audience is famed for.
Yeah, it's a whole different. It's a whole different thing. Don't get me wrong.
It's not better or worse. It's just different. It was really, really lovely to witness and bear witness to that.
Because it's your first time in the UK.
Yeah.
It is.
And you've had your chance to bring over your son as well.
Yes.
It's been a really special trip, just in terms of like the whole experience playing for the UK audience and spending time with him.
We're hoping the next time that we come back, and we are coming back, we'll have like days in between.
Yeah.
That we can just enjoy, you know,
and actually get to explore rather than be like, you go that way, go into an interview.
We won't do this again.
Yeah.
10 shows in 12 days is too much.
Yeah.
It's been so much fun, but you come all this way for the first time and you don't get a chance to enjoy anything. So
I barely recovered from my jet lag and I've already got to go into the shows.
And yeah.
And just take a step back and be like, wait, we're in the UK.
We literally did
that. People are singing back our songs. Let's process this.
Yeah, we landed in Amsterdam and went straight
to a show.
The gig.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing. So yeah, it was pretty tough.
And it's been a hot minute since your last record. Going into this one, did it feel like a very different process? Because, I mean, you guys are parents now, but also, both, I guess, personally and professionally, like, the industry must have changed quite a bit. It's now, like, the age of social media, streaming and all this stuff. So did it feel like a very, very different experience?
Somewhat. I mean, the only thing that we haven't been involved with really was radio singles, just because our label they just stopped working those. So everything else, though, and we've been touring as much as we ever have and doing the social media, but over the span of our career, I mean, it's completely changed, you know, but we took a few months off for Cooper. It seems like a lot longer because you didn't hear any singles on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a tough blow for us, you know, personally, professionally, just from our state of mind, you know, it was extremely difficult to have to go through that. But we know that a million artists go through that.
Yeah.
And either you make it out or you don't.
Experience as well.
Yeah.
Because you guys are now independent. It's sort of that.
Well, we've signed another deal.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So this album led us to another really great home. And, you know, so it's a bittersweet situation.
Yeah.
But, you know, either you stand up and keep walking or you sit down and go away.
It must be nice
for
us to lean on each other as well in those moments.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, lots of people don't have that if they're solo artists, particularly because you guys are married. It must be very different kind of.
Yeah, because we both have our ups and downs, you know. And
it
is. It's nice to have someone there to enjoy in the reward of everything and also to help you
support.
keep going, you know, when you feel like. And you do. Sometimes you feel like you want to quit, you know. There's only been a couple of those moments, but it hasn't been because of the music or the radio. It's just the business part of it.
You believe in music. And
The worst part of the music business is the music business, you know. It's the business part of it. But
everyone loves the music. Everyone falls in love with the music.
I will say this tour, being here in Europe, it's really been good for our soul, for our musical soul.
No, it really has.
That's what the UK audience was.
It really has been a great thing.
Yeah.
And in those years also, did you sort of take some time and figure out what you wanted to say with this record? What kind of was the process going in, and what did you kind of want to give your fans, I guess?
No, it wasn't intentional.
No, it was
organic. It was very organic.
The cool thing about this album is the very first album that we've ever done that we made all the decisions on, like,
right
down to the musicians.
The artwork.
The songs that we cut, the artwork.
That must be kind of refreshing in terms of just being like, this is completely us. It's not even
just, artist.
Like, this is our song, this is... The whole process is our vision and what we want from
it. It was very liberating to have.
It was what we wanted to do from top to bottom. So,
and you got to choose the first single, I guess, as well.
Well, you know, we yes and no. You know, we didn't want to go into this new deal going, this is how it has to be.
Yeah.
And so we said, here's the songs. We had Spotify. John Marks is a very dear friend of ours that runs the Spotify country. And he was came over and listened to the album and was like, literally, whatever you want to give me. I love all of this.
Yeah.
So we had
That's what you
want to have. Yeah, it is, you know. And so we've had a lot of support from XM and radio. But we wanted to go into this new deal with open arms and open eyes and open minds.
Yeah.
And we said, what do you guys want? And they wanted one thing, and we kind of leaned toward another, but we all kind of met in the middle. We kind of sent it out there and took some research and was trying to be smart about it. And Masterpiece came back
the favorite.
The very significant favorite.
It's a good favorite.
So I'm really happy about that just because, I don't know, I'm kind of a sucker. I'm a sap. I'm emotional and all that, you know. So
you want to lead with an emotional big ballad.
That's the thing, too. You should never do that. No one wants to hear about.
Well, that's what
no one wants to hear about. Are you kidding me?
I don't get this, but everyone connects to ballads. Mm-hmm. So
let me tell you something. Ask anybody on the street what their favorite song is, and I guarantee you, it's not a tempo.
No, everyone will always say the song that they like belt in the car when they're feeling sad.
Yes, you know, it's not like.
Well, I was going to say, one of my favorite songs from the album is Breakers, which obviously, again, is that's a big,
you guys
like, super emotional song.
Crushing that song. I mean,
maybe it's the UK thing. Everyone's like.
You're more emotional.
Yeah.
Well, what is the story behind that one? I think you guys listen to lyrics.
Yeah, that must be it.
You know, but I mean, you brought like the 100th person is like Breakers. I'm trying to get her to talk. I'm trying to talk her into playing it tonight.
What was your question? I'm sorry.
What was the inspiration, kind of the story behind that one?
Well, Kiefer and I wrote that with Marty Dodson and
Patrick
Droney down in Alabama, down at our house down there. And Marty had gone through a bad breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been dealing with some family issues, relationship issues within my family. That was some really hard stuff to deal with.
And I've been trying to get her to sing.
And as a songwriter, the only way to deal with that.
Yeah, you have to.
And I've been trying. That's what I was saying. I tried to get her to sing about it for a long time. And so I was like, we need to talk about this again, you know. So we started coming up with lines, and then Marty was like, I just went through a bad breakup. So she was kind of relating to it.
It was kind of cool because it had these two different perspectives, you know. And then today we were talking about it with someone else, and they thought it was maybe about addiction. And I was like, that's so cool that somebody had found another perspective.
It's funny when people find different perspectives and when people take it. And they're like, this applies to my story. Like,
you know, and that's why you shouldn't write songs sometime. They just spell everything out. You know, the mystery, the ambiguity of a song, of a lyric sometimes is really awesome because it allows different people from different walks of life to adapt those lyrics to their life. You know, this guy was talking about addiction. I was like, of course. I mean, you could be talking to heroin. You could be talking to cocaine. I mean, you could be talking to whatever. And whatever keeps drawing you back.
That's the beauty of ambiguity in music, isn't it? Everyone can read into whatever they want. Yeah. And the new UK single is Millionaires.
Right.
Yes.
What kind of, why did you choose that one? Again, what was the story behind that one?
And pure fun.
What's been the reaction, I guess?
Just fun. You know, that one, Nathan Chapman, our producer, actually brought that song into us. And it had been passed along through a few other bands. And we're thankful that they passed on it because we're like, this song.
It was meant to be.
So that's one of the songs that we didn't write. But first time we heard it, fell in love with it, thought it was
It appeared on an episode of The Ranch.
I was going to say, big fan of that show.
So that was neat. But that song, we recorded that song. Just it's very difficult to find tempo songs that fit Thompson Square's profile.
Yeah.
So that was a song and where it's not like all lovey and dovey. Because we don't like that.
Some of that's okay, but not all of it,
you know. So this is a really cool way to be able to have a tempo, have a fun
summer party song. You need those party song. At the end of the day. You're like, thinking about this. We need to get the crowd going and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Well, great. So I guess, obviously, UK tour finishing up. What are the plans for the rest of the year going into? I can't believe I'm already saying this, but 2020.
No, it's crazy.
That's scary. Well,
coming back here is top of the list.
Absolutely.
Finishing her project, getting it out.
I'm working on a solo traditional country record.
It's like 60s, 70s country. Crazy, like, change of pace for you.
It's really not.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's where my heart is. Like,
That's the way you grew up.
That's her base.
And it's sort of almost like return rather than something new, actually.
Absolutely, return. She was born to sing this, man. I mean,
So we'll be finishing that up, and then Kiefer's working on his comedy, like we mentioned.
Yep.
And there's a few other kids' books that he's got that we've got to finish.
Basically, you just need to keep busy.
We stay busy. And we don't know how to
time, rest. No sleep.
It's kind of that's kind of true. Yeah.
So.
But we like it, and until it gets cumbersome, we always keep.
At the end of the day. Keep going back to the UK and just do it on the long haul flight.
I know. Cool. I love it.
And I always end just with complete the sentence. So music is
life.
Country music is
heart.
Our story of our life.
My heart.
And Thompson Square are
love.
Okay.
What she said. Great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
So thank you so much to Thompson Square for that. And next up, please welcome Eric Pasley to the podcast to talk all about his new album, Live in Glasgow, and what's up next, including his studio album. I hope you guys enjoy this chat with Eric Pasley.
Love vocal chords. This is your fourth time back in the UK. What keeps you coming back? That's you're part of this, like, I guess this group of people who are really committing to the UK audience right now, and it's a really nice thing to see.
Just people keep showing up. Like, the crowd keeps growing, which is incredible. And I love it over here. It really is special. And I mean, we're sitting on a terrace on an old, probably building from the early
1900s.
It's awesome.
In there, I was like, oh, we're going to sit in the nice throne, like red velvet plush chairs. I thought that was pretty fantastic.
I love the people and the fact that y'all are welcoming me back. And we keep coming back.
And obviously lots of change since you were last here. Yeah. You have a little baby. How has that changed, like, your perception of your, like, songwriting and yourself as an artist? Do you kind of feel like a bit, I guess, like more a deeper well of emotions and kind of like responsibility almost?
I think it's a truer emotions.
Yeah.
I think I've definitely written a bunch of songs about little kids and stuff. Yeah. Just because the thought of it, from probably just me being a kid and that thought of being innocent.
Yeah.
Again, things like that. But, there's a song that'll be on the new album that'll be out early next year that's about her. And she's just amazing. She's a bundle of joy, and Natalie and I are thrilled
missing
to
her
have her. And, yeah, missing
right,
her.
Ready to get back.
They're actually in England right now.
But, oh, amazing.
But, I think they're still in Scotland.
And will they get to come to Norway with you when you go over?
No, I'll be back. I'll be back, and we're going to hang out here in England for a week, and then I go to Australia.
And you've obviously just released the first track from the live album.
Yeah.
Why did you choose Glasgow?
I think it chose me. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was the very first town, one of the first towns I remember playing when we played, the first time I ever played in Europe.
Yeah.
And the crowd was just so receptive and welcoming, and they were singing along to every word and clapping. And, and then I realized that's
everyone
all of Europe.
Everyone always says, they call it like...
That's all of Europe.
They always call it like the Scottish country mafia, I think.
Roy started a thing called the One Big Country Family because he felt bad for his English and everyone else's friends.
And it's just everyone's here. Everyone is like it's like a really strange but amazing community we have in the UK around country music.
Everyone
it's kind
was
of a beautiful
longer,
thing. Yeah. Kind of and everyone knows each other, and you'll see people hugging you, and you're like, it's kind of,
I don't know. You got to pick somewhere, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
you got to choose your tribe.
My beard is probably from Scotland.
Probably. That's where this hair comes from. There we go. And obviously, Barefoot Blue Jean Light was the first one you've released from the album. And I know at the beginning of the live version, you kind of said like how grateful you were to Jake for releasing that song. Is it something that you kind of think a lot about who you're going to give your songs to? Or do you like to have a say in who takes them?
If anyone ever wants to record a song, I really
just take
say
it as an
no.
honor.
It's one of those things. I mean, selfishly, because I am a singer and an artist, and you want to have hits. That had I known any of those songs would go number one, I of course would have held on to it.
You're like,
but I knew there were great songs. It was just not the timing in my life to record them, and it was for them. And
do you like to have that kind of relationship with the artists who take your songs? Because obviously, it's kind of like they're taking half of some of your emotion and your story.
I'm fortunate because I'm an artist, so I actually get to see a lot of people who've recorded my songs on the road, and we tour together. A lot of songwriters in Nashville have maybe never even met the artist that made the number one song for them.
Yeah,
but
well, they meet them at the number one party. That's the race, isn't it?
Which is sort of weird and a bummer, but it's the truth, and there's nothing really wrong with it.
Yeah,
I mean, a dream world, it'd be great if you like hung out together for a while.
My favorite people to record the greatest hits, but it doesn't always work like that. And obviously, I've heard the studio album's rumored to be in the works.
It is.
So what is, I guess, what can we expect from the album to be coming?
It's going to sound very live because it is. 80% of the album we didn't cut to click. So amazing. That means it's very live.
Yeah.
Same means you can't fix it with a computer. So
yeah.
It was a great band. We caught magic. I can't wait for people to hear it.
And I also heard rumors that Lucy Silvers, Caitlin Smith are on. You got some talent. You got some of my favorite voices on that album.
We have some great singers in Nashville. It's great water. So that sounds like a good idea. Maybe I'll do that.
Maybe. How do you kind of go about, I guess, choosing the people who you want to kind of like marry up with on the
just
album.
Get lucky that they're in town and we're going, you know, it'd be great for this. I've always loved Lucy and she's just incredible. I love John. He and I are brothers, you know, red bearded brothers and TJ. But
I was going to say, you both got a little something in common.
Brothers and Caitlin actually was a writer on the song that we wrote together.
So it's perfect,
really.
Even
better.
And I guess, so what else is in the works? I know you've got Live in Glasgow, the studio album, and then just touring and taking it.
Touring, and planning for tours to come back here.
Yeah. And then I always just complete every podcast episode I do with just complete the sentence. So music is... Big question.
Music is the healthiest drug you can take.
That's a good one. Country music is...
Country music is just to the heart and soul. Everyone has a heart and soul. And country music is as old as time, I think.
Yeah.
From the hills of Ireland and the highlands of Scotland to the hills of Tennessee and everywhere else in the world, I think. Country music speaks to the heart of everyone.
Yeah. And Eric Paisley is?
5'16".
Okay. Thank you so much.
So thank you so much both to Eric Paisley and to Thompson Square for that. And that will do for episode 86 of Off the Record. Make sure to tune in next week where we've got the lovely Wildwood Kin on the podcast. Have a great week. Bye, y'all.